fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 147 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. Despite growing concerns over coronavirus, the International Olympic Committee president says the games will go ahead as planned. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Thursday, IOC President Thomas Bach held a conference call with media outlets in Japan in an effort to quell fears that the Olympics might be canceled. Bach took on a reassuring tone, saying his organization is, quote, fully committed to a successful Olympic Games in Tokyo starting July 24th. The call comes in response to comments made earlier this week by IOC senior member Dick Pound, who said an outright cancellation of the games would be likely if the coronavirus continues to spread. But Pound pointed out a decision of that magnitude would only come if many factors were in place.
If the games are canceled, and that's a big if at this point, it's going to be a complicated decision. My guess is it would take more than simply a decision by the IOC and the Tokyo authorities. It would be governments and international agencies saying it is not safe to hold the games. And we're a long way from that. But today, we're sort of watching, and the IOC is in constant contact with the World Health Organization and all their specialized agencies to monitor this thing, because we don't really know enough about it yet.
Dr. Mike Ryan is with the WHO as executive director of the Health Emergencies Program. He says with less than 5 months to go until the start of the Olympic Games, his organization is closely advising the IOC and Tokyo 2020 organizers on the way forward.
We're working extremely closely with the IOC and the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee and are providing them with risk assessment and risk management advice. To my understanding, no decision has or will be taken in the near term regarding the future of the Olympics. We've said this with regard to all mass gatherings. We need a risk management approach. There is no zero risk in organising any mass gathering at this moment in time, but we need it to do for each gathering. And there are religious gatherings, there are sports gatherings, there are business gatherings all over the world, all of the time. We need to have a clearly risk management approach for those events, and we are providing advice on that. We have an internal task force. We have a lot of experience in supporting mass gatherings before, in the midst of Olympics, like during the Zika outbreak, during the previous SARS outbreak and the Special Olympics, and many others. And if you cast your mind back to those events, many of those events went ahead with appropriate risk management. So we intend to work through the IOC task force, which they've established with the Tokyo 2020 committee. So no decision on that from our perspective, and we will be offering advice through time.
The coronavirus outbreak has thrown Japan into a state of turmoil. This week saw the country's prime minister call for a month-long school shutdown and a two-week curb on sporting events. Meanwhile, sports leagues and organizations are scrambling to make last-minute changes with the possibility that games will be contested in an empty stadium. That last point is linked to a suggestion by IOC member Dick Pound to move forward as planned, but encourage people to watch the games from home. And in a message directed to Olympic athletes, Pound said they too should move forward with their plans for Tokyo.
Well, for the athletes, you say, look, we are committed to going to Tokyo so that you'll be on the track at the opening ceremonies on July 24th. And only if there's the worst possible outcome of this virus and it becomes a real pandemic where world health is at stake, then we reluctantly have to say, well, that's more important, frankly, than the Olympics and even more important than you. But we'll do our very best to make sure that you get your Olympic opportunity.
Pound added everyone involved is committed to making the right decision for the upcoming games, a sentiment echoed by Ian Chesterman, chief de mission for the Tokyo 2020 Australian Olympic team.
There's no doubt the coronavirus is being enormously disruptive to world sport, and we're seeing that on a daily basis. And I saw a list today of the number of sports that are now being moved or cancelled. So, you know, it is going to impact on sport. It already has impacted on those events largely scheduled for China, and we've seen a lot of those events moved, and maybe there'll be more of that happening. Each of the sports is going to have to make up their mind as to where they train in the lead-up to the Games and where they compete. I think we're fairly fortunate now to be sitting here in Australia. Coronavirus is currently not a major threat to us here as we speak right now, and there's fantastic training conditions here, so many of our athletes can continue to train and prepare for the Games in July.
The Olympic Games have only been cancelled on three occasions, all of which occurred in the first half of the 20th century, 1916, 1940, and 1944, and all of them due to war. A cancellation this year would mark the first time in over 75 years the Olympic Games did not start as planned. But for now, Olympic Committee officials say, besides the possibility of scaling down the torch relay, they are maintaining the stance that the Olympics and Paralympics will move forward on schedule. And we will keep you updated on this story as news develops. And that is all from me for now and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Olympic news, a female Nigerian Taekwondo athlete recently qualified for the Tokyo Games. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the technical director of the Nigeria Taekwondo Federation, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist Chika Chukwumerejie.
I'm very proud of the performance they put in. Basically, we qualified for Tokyo 2020 Olympics. We took four athletes, Elizabeth Ayanacho in the female minus 67 kg, the current African champion Chinazo Mosu in the female minus 57 kg, then two males, Benjamin Okomose in the male plus 80 kg, and Ife Oluwa Ajayi in the male minus 68 kg. So they came out with one golden ticket for the Olympics and two bronze medals. The bronze medalists are substitutes for the Olympics in the sense that if the finalists by any chance have doping infractions, then they will go to Tokyo. So the team did well because in 2016 Rio Olympics, they failed to qualify for the Olympics. The administration at the time. It was the first time ever that we had failed to qualify for the Olympics. So this time around, Madam President said, look, Chika, you've been involved in all the Olympics that we've qualified. And now you're the technical director. So 3 years ago, when she came into power, she gave me the mandate to make sure we get to Tokyo this time. So it's quite interesting that we qualified a female, because the last time a female qualified for the Olympics was 16 years ago at the Athens 2004 Olympics, and she's the second ever female to qualify for the Olympics since Princess Dudu did so in Athens 2004.
You won the bronze medal at the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games with the Nigerian qualifier for the Tokyo 2020. What chances does Nigeria have in the 2020 Tokyo Games as it affects Taekwondo?
Depends on the resources you put, because coincidentally, Elizabeth is part of a high-performance program by my foundation. So we discovered her in 2015. She was 15 years at the time. And at that point, with her and with all her teammates at the point, we said the target is Tokyo 2020 Olympics. So basically, I have the blueprint to win a medal. Because in Beijing 2008, I wrote my own training program as I did in London. And then I was an athlete, and I was also, I had to manage myself too, so it was difficult. But now I started from scratch. So basically, she was discovered in schools. just like most of them, in government schools. She was in government secondary school, Lube, at the time. So literally every week I go to schools, I train with these young people, and when I see people with the right body type, I get them to come out. I give them scholarships so that... So we paid for our tuition through school. Now she's in university, she's in Futo 300 level. We're still covering the tuition. So this is... When we say from grassroots to elite, this is what we talk about, you know. So definitely, I have the template. I know exactly what to do to make sure she gets a medal. But I must also sound the word of caution, because there's going to be a lot of pressure on this young lady. The opponent she's going to face, they've been training for quite a lot of years. They have systems that support them. So truly, if Nigeria wants a medal to come out of this, it depends on how they're going to assist her with resources now. Because there's a system in place that can get her this medal. So she needs a lot of exposure, and that means a lot of resources. So certainly we can get her on the podium in Tokyo.
That's Chika Chukwumerije, the technical director of the Nigeria Taekwondo Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Yes, sporting greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerije. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Host Kim Lewis and VOA senior TV correspondent Chris Simpkins continue their discussion with author Jesse Holland, author of Black Men Built the Capitol, on historical facts regarding African-American achievements in Washington, D.C., including the fact that enslaved black men built the nation's capital, the White House, and other famous Washington structures. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
In Europa League football action Thursday, Manchester United routed visiting Club Bruges of Belgium 5-0. Man U won the series on aggregate 6-1 and will play Austria's LASK next month in the round of 16. Now, one of Man U's five goals on Thursday came from Nigerian striker Odion Ighalo. We'll hear from Ighalo in this report from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Nigerian forward Odion Ighalo scored his first goal for Manchester United. The 30-year-old Nigerian completed a move to Old Trafford at the end of January and is due to spend the remainder of the 2019-2020 campaign on loan at the club from Shanghai Shenhua.
It feels great, you know, because this is what I've waited long for, you know, even for the last games I've played, but now it's dream come true for me. This is a team I supported from small when I was young, and playing for the team and scoring goals means a lot to me. I'm going to cherish this moment all the days of my life.
Odion Ighalo had featured off the bench against Chelsea, Club Brugge and Watford before making his first start against Club Brugge in the second leg of their last 32 Europa League contest on Thursday night. Staying with football news, the knockout stages of the continent's premier club competition, the CAF Champions League, kick off this weekend with four first-leg games scheduled over Friday and Saturday. At the Cairo International Stadium, Cairo, it will be Zamalek of Egypt locking horns with Esperance of Tunisia. Defending champions, Esperance of Tunisia have a poor record against Zamalek of Egypt ahead of their first leg. In seven clashes in various CAF competitions, the Tunis club have only won once, drawing three times and losing three of their fixtures together. Raja Casablanca will face TP Mazembe of DR Congo. The two former champions have many things in common. Both have lifted the CAF Champions League trophy more than once, five for Mazembe and three for Raja. Both went to win numerous CAF competitions and both finished the FIFA Club World Cup as runners-up. On Saturday, Al Ahly host Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, where the North Africans will be desperate for revenge after a 5-1 aggregate thrashing when the clubs met at the same stage last year. The 5-goal first-leg spanking in Pretoria, South Africa, was the heaviest single match loss sustained by the record 8-time African champions since a 6-0 defeat in the 1942 Egyptian Cup final. While at the Mohamed V Stadium in Casablanca, it will be Wydad Casablanca of Morocco who will host Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia. In boxing news, Ugandan professional boxer Shafik Kiwanuka will put his World Boxing Federation All-African Heavyweight title on the line when he comes up against Egypt's Abdullah Sami on the 29th of May. The fight will take place at the International University of East Africa Auditorium in Kasanga. Shafik Kiwanuka believes the title is for him to keep.
For me, I'm ready. I'm training harder. I'm focused with my coach. I'm working hard.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Greetings. This is Tony Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague Jim Stevenson had golf and American-style football news in his latest Game Room podcast. And Jim tees off with an American golfer who was victorious in Mexico.
It's very rewarding.
Golfer Patrick Reed reeled off three birdies in a row over the final four holes to forge a one-shot win over American compatriot Bryson DeChambeau at the WGC Mexico Championship.
To come back and win my second World Golf Championship, especially with how I had to finish on, basically 15 onwards. And, last hole was ugly, but it was what I needed just to get the job done. And, at the end of the day, just putting yourself in these positions on Sunday is just unbelievable. It's a great feeling.
South African Eric Van Rooyen felt better after he settled down.
I think there was a lot more adrenaline going on yesterday. I got off to a really good start again today. 10 and 12 obviously hurt quite bad. I'm not trying to hit it over the green out of that bunker. So that sucks, but you know what? I think I played some really good golf the last 4 days. I can help ahead high.
Van Rooyen finished three shots behind as he didn't let setbacks stop him.
Yes, we all want to win, but at the same time, I'm trying to finish as high as I possibly can, so I'm not going to go lie down after a bogey. I think we had a really good finish, gave myself a few chances coming down the stretch, and like my game's in great shape. I'm looking forward to the next one.
England's Tyrrell Hatton didn't have the same assessment of his performance, five shots off the pace.
I'm actually disappointed. I played really good today. Just didn't really hold any putts, and then I've given myself so many chances. I still had a decent score going. And then the last three holes are just really disappointing. To play them in one over is annoying, but yeah, if you told me that at the start of the week, I would obviously have taken that with my first event back, and hopefully I can build on that now for the rest of the year.
Reed has been recently heavily criticized for alleged rule-breaking incidents in a sport known for players calling attention to their own mistakes. He says the team around him has supported his rise back to winning.
My team and I, we've worked so hard through the end of last year and also the beginning of this year, and we kept on feeling like we were playing some good golf, just we weren't quite able to get over that hump.
Impressively, before age 30, Reed already has won the Masters, two World Golf Championship events, and was the hero of the last Ryder Cup. He's ready to celebrate.
I can't wait to go home and celebrate with the little ones and my wife and, bring them home a trophy.
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
American-style football has come to the East African nation of Uganda. American volunteers brought the sport with them, and it's caught on. Ugandan Stephen Okeng was visiting a friend at an orphanage in 2014 when he noticed American volunteers introducing the children to a game he had only watched on television. Okeng started organizing players and, in 2015, formed the American Football Federation Uganda.
As the game continues to grow, we have very many institutions and secondary schools that are willing
to have the game adopted into the sports curriculum. But we find that our biggest challenge are the coaches. We don't have the resources, the human power to go and help us with the sport.
Okeng spread the game to four regions of the country. And in 2018, Uganda's National Council of Sports recognized the sport's growing popularity with $10,000 to help fund the federation. Council spokesman Ismail Datara says American football has shown great potential in schools, especially those teaching English.
The language that you're going to use to teach the sport is very important. It's a sport whose technicalities are entirely in English. Touchdown, quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, those do not have anywhere in local dialect that you're going to be able to translate them. So it's easier when you introduce them within the school system where people are studying English, because then it's very easy for them to interpret what is happening.
While most players are male, women are also playing. They include the Chamboko University's team captain, Caroline Adiju. She says it's a challenge to convince Ugandan women that American football is not too rough of a game.
I think girls will join, not only that we've not been having that routine training that has kept them away, but some have come, we're like five, others are still coming, and I'm still convincing them.
To convince more young people to play the game, Uganda's coaches often train by playing flag football instead of the full contact sport. Chamboko team coach Imran Sumuju says players have shown great promise in regional competitions.
We are in a flag football, whereby these players need to first understand in the routes they are running, the formations they're installing within the game, whether defense or offense or running back wide receiver. But when you look at the players, the way they catch, they are good. One that they lack is some facilities that we use in these techniques.
Uganda's National Council of Sports this year plans to sponsor the team for a training tour of the United States. They want Uganda's players and coaches to learn more from the professional National Football League.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast, which you can hear via voanews.com. Saudi Arabia will host the world's richest horse race on Saturday with a purse of $20 million. The event will take place at the King Abdulaziz Racetrack in Riyadh. About 10,000 fans are expected to attend. The main race will be run over 1,800 meters, or just over a mile, on a dirt track with a maximum field of 14 horses. The winner's prize will be $10 million. This is the latest international sporting event to take place in Saudi Arabia, following football competitions like the Italian and Spanish Super Cups. Saudi Arabia has been trying to boost tourism and diversify its oil-dominated economy. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an in-studio photo from way back in 2004. I'm pictured with my former VOA colleague, Uncle Ted Roberts, and Liberian soccer great George Weah. I mentioned how the photo was taken in 2004. Well, that's 14 years before George Weah was sworn in as Liberia's 25th president. Check out that VOA studio photo. And that wraps up the February 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
It's been a little over 15 months since NASA's InSight lander touched down on Mars. The space agency reports that six new published papers detail some of the findings made by InSight, both above and deep below the red planet's surface. Scientists found that Mars trembles much more than expected, with 174 seismic events, or Mars quakes, over a period of 235 Martian days, or 241 and a half Earth days. Mars doesn't have the same tectonic activity that causes quakes here on Earth, so scientists suggest volcanic activity are causing the Mars quakes. While the red planet lost its magnetic field billions of years ago, InSight provided information that when it did exist, it magnetized rocks located between 61 meters and several kilometers underground. The scientists are still waiting for data from InSight that can determine whether Mars has a solid or liquid core. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.